US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the Southern states. The day Elvis passed away would be our national holiday. If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd make my Supreme Court down in Texas, and we wouldn't have no killers getting off free. If they were proven guilty, then they would swing quickly instead of writing books and smiling on TV. We'd all learn Cajun cooking in Louisiana, and I'd put that capital back in. Track, cause we take Miami back and throw all them pushers in the slammer. Oh, if the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the Southern states. The day young Skinner died, we'd show our Southern pride. If the South would have won, we'd have had it made.
All right, everybody, if that don't get you in the mood to listen to the Political Cesspool, I ain't got a song for you. We like to have fun here. We do have a lot of fun here while tackling the tough issues and giving you...
And Hank Williams Jr. is always welcome here at the Cesspool.
Well, you know, Bill Rowland had booked Hank the Third. There is a Hank Williams the Third, and Bill had booked him for the show literally 2 months before he passed away, and little did we know it, after Hank the Third had agreed to appear on the show, Bill's... health started failing, so we thought we would give it, you know, a little bit of time, let Bill bounce back, and you know, sadly, that never occurred. But yeah, right before Bill passed away, Hank III, and then I just never resuscitated it because that was an interview Bill wanted to do, and Bill was going to conduct. But yeah, that's true. That's a true story. Anyway, I heard that song for the first time, if you can believe it, for the first time in Keith's car. What, last month we were driving around. And anyway, great song. We have fun here while tackling the tough topics, and you know, it's a well-rounded show with a well-rounded guy.
I've got a whole list of patriotic Southern songs that we would play, like I'm Just a Rebel is one, and Hank Williams Jr. Singing, he's got one about, what is it, I got my mind on Dixie, I got rebelling in my shoes.
Well, and our... Dixie on my mind.
Dixie
also.
On my mind. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I don't guess the South didn't win, sadly.
Well,
it's not our
everybody's
fault.
Lost.
It's
the world's loss.
It's everybody's loss, but it wasn't the fault of my guys, you know, my ancestors or yours or Eddie's, because they all did their duty. That's for sure. And we're fixing to win. And I don't know if that's going to come. It's probably not going to come in the form of a Donald Trump nomination. But I'll tell you this. I'll settle for a big, beautiful wall on the border.
I'm going to assume he's going to be the president of the United States until proven otherwise, because he definitely speaks for the silent majority.
And we covered this last week. And I'll get to this in a moment. But there's a national news article. Let me read the headline. National news article out there entitled... White nationalist media have found their great hope in Donald Trump and his immigration plan. Subtitle reads, white nationalist radio host James Edwards says he's backing Trump now. We'll talk about that in a second, but that made big news, I think, on Friday. I wasn't in town yesterday. I was at, of all places. Where was I at last night? Everybody, I know everybody's been wondering. James, I was just wondering, where were you at last night? I was at a Neil Sedaka concert.
And ask him where I was.
Keith was at a viewing of Gone with the Wind at the historic Orpheum Theater.
And in Memphis, and of course, our local newspaper, affectionately known to us as the Communist Appeal, wrote an article on the Thursday before this showing on Friday, questioning whether or not anybody ought to watch Gone with the Wind and whether any public venue ought to screen it. So We may have gone one to the last birthday celebration for General Forrest in Forrest Park in Memphis, and I may have attended the last public screening in Memphis of Gone with the Wind.
Not if we have anything to do with it. Not if we have anything to say about it, by God, that's for sure.
Let me tell you this. It was the best attended of the entire summer film series at the Orpheum. They have every Friday night an old vintage movie, and, I mean, Gone with the Wind packed.
Why didn't
them
you invite
to the
Eddie?
Rafters.
Eddie wanted to go. He's actually he doesn't understand. He didn't even know about it. What happened?
Well, we got to get Eddie in the loop here.
Well,
of course, if Eddie would answer his telephone, that would help.
I got to get in the loop.
Well, now share this. We're getting way off track here, but when you call Eddie's cell phone, what does his answering machine message say?
Leave message. real welcoming.
All right, come on. That is the truth, though. And Keith pretty much did an accurate. If you could, we're not going to do what Donald Trump did to Lindsey Graham and give Eddie's cell phone number out over the air. But that's pretty much what it sounds like. All right, we're having too much fun now. We got to tone it down a bit. But
some more fun.
I want to say one more thing about what we were covering last hour. This is a point that wasn't made, but I felt should have been put in. The whole thing with the Vester Lee Flanagan, the shooter in Virginia, you know, he was a homosexual. And we talk about how mental health issues played a part in that. And now I'm asking myself, is it a mental health issue above and beyond homosexuality or in addition to that? Because that's a mental health issue, too, as we so often point out on this program. Up until the late 1970s, the American Psychiatric Association rightly listed homosexuality as a mental disease, a mental disorder. It's no longer... It's still one, of course, no longer an officially listed one. Political correctness took care of that. But, that you know, he was a homosexual. And, you know, we talked about this last week, too. Michael Sam, a homosexual black football player, made famous for making out with his white boyfriend for 15 minutes on ESPN when he was drafted by the St. Louis Rams. He never played a minute of NFL ball. He did get picked up by a CFL team. But as our friend in Canada tells us, he was cut by the CFL team a few days ago. And they cited mental health issues were the reason for that. Again, what's the common denominator between these two guys? They're both homosexuals.
And they're both black.
Well, they're both black, but they're both homosexuals, and that's where the mental health concerns, I believe, come in.
Of course, but the only person that you've heard any question about mental health and psychotropic drugs and things like this being involved in is the Dylann Roof Charleston Church shooting.
Eddie is asking if we have a Bible in the radio station, and the answer is we do. We do have one, but it's not there. I'll get it for you.
Let me just paraphrase something.
We do have a Bible. I'll have to find it for you in the next commercial break.
It's okay.
All right, go quick. We don't have time to get into Trump this segment.
Hey, people,
anyway.
Get your Bibles, and I'm pretty sure go to Romans first. Go to Romans
Eddie's
1.
Eddie's paraphrasing here. Yeah. So
I'm paraphrasing big time.
As Ronald Reagan says, trust but verify.
This is sports talk paraphrasing, folks. Go to Romans 1:22, I believe. Me and Sam talked about this one there. And this is what causes homosexualism. And I'm just going to paraphrase it. Okay, now anybody, even the wild heathen, can look in the sky and see the endless stars, the endless heavens, the suns, the seas, the mountains, and he'll know in his heart, God has put in even the heathen's heart that there is a God, there is an almighty God. So Paul says that there is no excuse not to know God. Okay, then it goes on to say, but they would not worship God, they worship birds, animals, stones, and sticks. So God turned them over. Well, we'll get. Let me finish this when we come back.
You
got
to
finish it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, he didn't have his headset on, so he doesn't know that the music's playing.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Reaching for in that last segment, and I feel as though we completely and utterly wasted that last, not wasted, but it wasn't what I intended to cover. It was supposed to be all about Trump. You know, I got this all compartmentalized in my mind when I come up with the agenda, but it is live radio. Eddie, you weren't supposed to get here until 8 o'clock. Get out.
Let me have another
story. All right, here it is. Romans 1:26. This is the King James Bible, which is the only one we read.
Yeah, that's the one we use.
Around here. Yeah. For this God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. So there you go. But anyway, Michael, Sam, and lust. The shooter in Virginia share something in common. Now we got to go to Trump. And this whole hour is supposed to be about Trump.
Men burning their lust for each other.
Men burning their lust for each other. That's Michael, Sam, and Vesterly Flanagan should have gotten together. All right.
Need a dating service.
Jorge Ramos was deported from a Trump press conference earlier this week, or at least since our last broadcast. This was incredible. I love this. Donald Trump sparred with Univision anchor Jorge Ramos during a press conference last Tuesday, booting the journalist from his Iowa event. So he was deported for the press conference, but unfortunately, Trump later gave him amnesty and let him back in. And when he got let back in, do you know how bad, Keith, you have to be to stand out in the media as someone who is biased? I mean, think about that. The entire media, the establishment media, their entire purpose now. Their entire job description is to be the enforcers of political correctness.
You know cheerleaders
how bad you have to be to stand out as someone who is editorializing or has crossed the line from journalism
propriety to impropriety.
Commentator. Well, and of course, when this reporter comes back in, he says Trump's immigration plan is stupid, unrealistic, et cetera, et cetera.
No, but
here's the thing. Listen.
Hey, tell me this. Hold up.
Donald Trump said a few days ago that he was not going to allow his press conferences to be interrupted. He was mocking Bernie Sanders for having his press conferences be taken over by Black Lives Matter. He proved it. He proved it with this clip. Let's go to this clip now. This is real-time live action.
Okay, who's next? Yeah, please. Excuse me. Sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go ahead. No, you don't. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sit down, please. You weren't called. Go. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, and you hear some background.
Hi, Chip, yes.
You hear some background chatter there, but essentially what's happening there, and we have the clip on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Essentially what's happening there is Trump security, he escorts this gentleman out. He wasn't called on. He was obviously out of line to jump in line in front of all of the other journalists who were there to ask questions when they were sanctioned. He doesn't lose control. He doesn't get out of hand, and he maintains his composure.
And he eventually asks him to leave.
Right, I mean, that's it. Listen, I mean, this kind of stuff, man, this really resonates with me. This is the kind of stuff that makes Trump a man, in my opinion. And let me tell you something. Meanwhile, Trump's surge continues to grow stronger in the polls. Trump's lead over the Republican primary field has grown to the extent that new polls put him well ahead of his early state rivals in New Hampshire, Iowa, and South Carolina. Listen, in South Carolina, let me start in New Hampshire. 24-point lead in New Hampshire, according to a poll released on Tuesday. And in South Carolina, the home of Lindsey Graham, he has 40% of the vote. And he's leading in Florida, where Governor Jeb Bush and Senator Marco Rubio are from. It's really incredible. His dominance is really, really bad for the conservative establishment, Keith.
Well, I think it's a coin toss as to who the most frustrated mainstream politician is in America today, either Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush.
Well, I want to say one thing about Jeb Bush before you go. Yeah, Hillary Clinton, they're saying orange is the new pantsuit. You know, will the CHAG go to jail over this thing with the email? But here's Donald Trump. I don't know if you've seen this, Eddie, but I got a picture here. Richard Spencer covered this with Radix Journal. It's called Freudian Photoshopping. So you got this picture of Jeb Bush. Eddie.
Look at his hand.
FCC friendly language. What do you notice about Jeb Bush's hand here? Use Keith's mic. Cause mine's stationary. Use Keith's mic. What do you see with Jeb Bush's hand? You guys use Keith's mic.
Oh, okay.
It's as black as the ex of spades. And I'm going to tell you something else. The dude is I'm coining a new term, folks. He's an estroservative. He's a guy who has more estrogen than testosterone. That's even worse than a cuckoid. I mean, yeah, he's a cook. You know what the dude is? He's a cook, estroservative. You know what? That guy's so pathetic.
I want you to comment on this very quickly.
I got to keep it in control now.
He went this week. Yeah, keep it under control, please. And remember, we were on AM radio.
I got to remember, I'm a gentleman, y'all. I'm supposed to be a Christian.
Jeb Bush was down at the border this week. You know, Trump wants to. Trump actually spanked a blonde reporter on the air.
I can handle that now.
Figuratively, if not, or is it literally?
Not literally.
Well, I can handle it.
But I want to say one more thing that Trump said in this news conference where he ejected Jorge Ramos. He goes, I want you to look, and I watched this. And I tried to find a clip of it that we could play tonight. I couldn't find the clip of this exact part. But he said, look at all of the red lights on these cameras, talking about all the news coverage that he commands. He says, These are not good people. He's mocking and denigrating the own media that is covering him. He says, these are not good people. They don't care about me. They don't care about you. And they don't care about this country. That's Trump to the media.
He's 1,000% right.
But here is Jeb Bush, on the other hand. He went down to the Mexican border this week and delivered an address in Spanish. And as we talked about last week on the show, Jeb Bush said in his home, his children speak Spanish. They eat Mexican food. And by the way, he doesn't want anyone to forget he married a Mexican woman. So obviously, Eddie, he is the textbook definition of a conservative, because why didn't his, you know, even though he's a carpetbagger, why didn't his Anglo-Saxon heritage dominate the home rather than the Mexican ancestry of his wife? And, you know, why are his children referred to as Mexicans instead of, you know, they're at least half white, right? You know, but in his home, he's a Mexican, not even a Spaniard. He doesn't even, you know, he doesn't even have conquistador credibility.
I can't get over his hand there is praying.
That's obviously not his hand. Yeah, they photoshopped this in using a black model.
The guy absolutely is extroservative. You know, and what he did down there on the border, guys, and y'all agree, he's inviting all these Mexicans to come over. What I love about Bush, I mean, about Trump, is what guy said, get this. I know this is going to be a shock. Trump's actually losing 75% of the Hispanic vote.
Well, and then not only, all right, and then, but, you know, is he going to gain the vote that Mitt Romney left on the table of the white conservative, the Republican base, by the way, who didn't turn out and therefore allowed Barack Obama?
Of course, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The real key to winning is not getting 40% of the Hispanic vote. It's getting 100% of your base to be energized and come out for you. Trump's the only Republican candidate that has a prayer of doing that, and he can do it. He's the only one that can.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got a guest. We got to be very
quick. You guys, and what percent of
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, our featured guest of the evening is now with us. If Eddie doesn't knock the studio out of balance here with the kicking the equipment. I wish we had a television camera in this radio station when we broadcast every night, because I'm telling you, it's a carnival sideshow. Anyway, our featured guest is the one and only Jared Taylor, good friend of mine. I love this guy. He's the editor of American Renaissance Magazine and the author of several books, including his most recent, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. A regular guest, and for good reason. Jared, welcome back to the broadcast. Great to have you.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, you've been making a lot of news this week, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But before we get into that particular topic, I want to, since Donald Trump is essentially the topic this hour, I want to ask you to break down in your own words a summary of the article that you wrote for American Renaissance this week. Of course, that's amren.com, everybody. But the title is Trump Our Last Chance? Jared, take it away.
Well, the reason I wrote is Trump Our Last Chance because he is really the first major candidate in many years who is proposing doing things that could be useful not just to the entire country but to white people. What a shock to be having to even be talking about policies that could do something good for white people. But my main reason for being interested in Trump, and I'm sure it's yours as well, is his position on immigration. He really does talk about sending home every single illegal, and he's talking about putting in a pause to just stop legal immigration as well. I mean, this is practically unheard of. But to me, what is really most outstanding in his view is that he says bluntly what should be obvious, what should be shouted from the rooftops, but what we almost never hear, namely, immigration should benefit Americans and not foreigners. I mean, that should be obvious, but I don't think any major politician has said that since Patrick Buchanan. So that is my main reason for really supporting him. Now, the reason I say, could he be our last chance, is that the electorate changes every year. The percentage of whites who vote drops by about 2% every 4 years, every election cycle. And so it's going to get to the point where if all of the non-whites gang up on us, which is what they invariably do, whites will simply not be able to elect the candidate of their choice. I mean, this happens quite repeatedly, but it may come to the point where we may never be able to get the candidate of our choice, and Trump may be our last chance for a guy who puts the brakes, at least to some degree, on this steady reduction of the white electorate.
Okay, Jared, this is Keith Alexander. I think it's very important, and you point to this in your article, that the most important issue is the very issue that Trump is showcasing in his campaign. I think that if we don't put the brakes on third world immigration, nothing else is going to be possible. This is Bertolt Brecht's famous comment in 1948 was, if you don't like the election results, change the electorate. This is what the left has been intending to do and is accomplishing both here and in Europe. They get the nearest group of third worlders and flood your country with them. And, you know, I'm not worried about all these people that say, is he really conservative? As far as I'm concerned, conservatism is nothing more than common sense. And he obviously has an abundance of common sense. He wouldn't have succeeded in the business world if he didn't. He's got the same problem that most Americans have. They've been psychologically conditioned to listen to the dog whistles of the left and to be politically correct. And he will eventually shed that as he gains confidence if he does become the president. What do you think?
Well, you know, a reporter for the website BuzzFeed asked me at one point during an interview a couple of days ago, we were talking about my desire not to see whites reduced to a minority. And this reporter asked me, well, do you think Trump thinks the same thing? And I answered him, well, I have no idea. I just don't know. I know the left is always very good at that. They seem to think they can read minds. They can look at somebody like Trump and say, oh, he's a racist. You know, he just doesn't like Mexicans. I have no idea. But if it is true that he thinks in terms of the demographic future of the United States the way you and I and James does, then I hope to heck at some point he talks openly about that. But I really have no idea. My sense is that because I don't see him as particularly ideological, I don't see him as a man of consistently leftist ideas or particularly right ideas. I see him as a guy just sort of a pragmatist. And so I can imagine him changing his policies fairly rapidly, depending on what seems like a better bet or a better investment, except on one thing, and that is immigration. He has really staked his entire political campaign primarily on controlling immigration, particularly illegal immigration, and I don't see him flip-flopping on that any time. I mean, that would just leave everybody flabbergasted and furious.
And he's absolutely struck a nerve in the American electorate. This thing is taking off like a prairie fire.
Well, and I said also, Jared, last week that, you know, if you have 10 boxes to be checked, you know, he doesn't check 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. Like, you know, for my, you know, I got my start working for Pat Buchanan. You know, Pat checked those boxes, you know. But, you know, if you could only check 2 boxes or 3,
yeah.
He checks the most important 3 with me, and that's immigration, number one, far and away, number one. If we can stem this demographic replacement that we find ourselves being subjected to, then perhaps that would buy us the time to solve some of the other problems. So that's number one, far and away, and he checks it in a big way. Number two, political correctness, the way he treats the media with the utter disdain and contempt that they deserve really resonates with me. And number three, I think he is an economic nationalist in many ways. And
protection.
Or we'll find out, but those are 3 big ones with me. And so, you know, as I've said last week, if the vote were held, and even tonight, if the vote were tomorrow in the Tennessee primary, he'd get mine. But they're also really, and we'll talk to you about this more extensively in the next segment after the break, Jared, but they are really now having been utterly foiled in other attempts to paint Trump as someone who's a flip-flopper or not a real Republican or not a real conservative. Basically, he's been the Teflon candidate. Everything they've thrown at him has failed. And in fact, his momentum has only gained with every passing day. Now, this week more than ever before, and perhaps increasingly in days to come, they are trying to brand him as, if not himself a racist, someone who really resonates with quote-unquote so-called racists. And Jared, you've been making a lot of news
in that discussion.
Right, in that discussion, obviously, and we know that this is just libel. But share with us your experience in that and how you think Donald will respond to these charges.
Well, you know, he has already responded in a way. Apparently, David Duke said some nice things about Donald Trump. And Trump, this is so typical of him. He says, I don't need his endorsement. I don't need anybody's endorsement. He did say, well, then when he was forced, he said, well, I repudiate his endorsement. But I think it is typical of this sort of swaggering ego he has that many people find very attractive, saying, I don't need anybody's endorsement. I'm going to make it entirely on my own. So I like the fact that he is brash. He doesn't lick his finger and put it in the air and see which way the wind blows to decide what he's going to say. He doesn't have 25 pollsters and 40 focus groups get their view on things before he speaks. He speaks his mind. That's so refreshing.
And he's not even taking donations, you know, at least to this point, Keith.
Yeah, well, to put it in a word, he's manly, and people are starved for manly leadership from the White House. We have all of these cuck-servatives, as they call them nowadays, running in the Republican primary. Every last one of them is, you know, described by that term, with the exception of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, this one girly boy after another, really, especially what we got in the White House now, for heaven's sake. But you see, I think that when Donald Trump says he could win the Hispanics, I think he's actually onto something, because Hispanics, perhaps even more than other people, are attracted to this kind of macho quality he has. They are
the machismo factor.
About his politics. I beg your pardon?
The machismo factor. That's what they're famous for in their culture, having a machismo culture. I think he's also going to do surprisingly well in the black community because of the very same reason. People are tired of these mealy-mouthed, pity-pattering, pussy-footing Republicans and Democrats.
Yep, I agree.
Well, when we take a break, folks, we're going to come back with Jared Taylor, a true hero for our people. And we're going to ask him about the media saturation that he's found himself immersed in. Pretty interesting what they're trying to do. Let's hang on, and we'll talk to Jared about that right after this.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back to it on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we're back. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in studio tonight. Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, amren.com. Make it a daily read. Support it. Why don't you? He's our featured guest for the evening, and we're talking about Donald Trump. In fact, Jared's article, Is Trump Our Last Chance?, has made national news in a very big way. And before I toss it back to Jared about that, just to sort of preface this and to give you a little more depth, the headline yesterday at MediaMatters.com, which is basically a clearinghouse that a lot of the establishment goes to for talking points, the headline reads, White Nationalist Media Have Found Their Great Hope in Donald Trump and His Immigration Plan. Subtitle reads, White Nationalist Radio Host, I've never used that term actually to refer to myself, but nevertheless, White Nationalist Radio Host James Edwards says he's backing Trump. The first sentence is, Edwards hosts a racist anti-Semitic radio show that features a wide roster of white supremacists, anti-Semites, and other extremists. You know, really, Keith, to use anti-Semite twice in one sentence is pretty incredible. Next sentence, Edwards holds deeply racist views. I'm not sure if that's a complete sentence or not. But nevertheless, they go on to mention and make mention of the fact that we have said some good things about Trump. And they also, in this article, reference the positive comments, I guess we could say, that have been made by Jared Taylor, Richard Spencer of Radix.com, former editor of The American Conservative, John Derbyshire, formerly of the National Review, Peter Brimelow, formerly of Forbes magazine, and Dr. Kevin McDonald. You know, Jared, they're really not scraping the bottom of the barrel here with that company. But nevertheless, because all of those gentlemen who have been mentioned have said positive things about Trump, it makes this article. And they're really trying to brand Trump as someone who is mobilizing whatever deplorable adjective they would use to describe us, mobilizing that community. Again, you've made big news. The New Yorker magazine, for instance, has covered Jared Taylor pretty extensively, and a lot of other publications. Jared, take us behind the scenes in some of these interviews you've given and what you think has prompted the interest.
Well, I think the interest is pretty clear. It was this fellow Evan Osnos for The New Yorker. He first approached me because he claimed he was doing an article about race relations in America after the Dylann Roof Charleston killings. He wanted to know what that meant, and we had 2 hours of conversation about that. And I got a bunch of fellows who see things the same way I do, some people you probably know, and we talked to him at some length about these things. But later on, he switched gears while he was writing this article, because he'd first approached me over a month ago. He was bowled over, I'm sure, by the Trump phenomenon, and he completely changed the angle of his article. And his angle was Donald Trump is being supported by all these wild, hairy throwbacks to pro-slavery days and white supremacy and all that sort of nonsense. And so that has been the club that the lefty media are trying to beat Donald Trump with. They're saying, look at these awful people that support him. Look at these terrible people who think he's the best thing that's come along in years. And as I've pointed out several times, it would be like tracking down the last remaining Stalinists in America and saying, well, do you prefer Hillary Clinton over Jeff Bush? And saying, oh my gosh, Hillary Clinton excites the Stalinists. I mean, this is just completely nuts. It would be as meaningless as doing that. But it just goes to show you how desperate they are to throw everything they've got at Donald Trump to stop this juggernaut.
Face it, Jared, this is their last hold card. This is their Trump card to Trump, apparently. They think that this is this is a secret weapon. If nothing else they've thrown at him will stick, they're sure in their own minds that calling him a racist and associating him with quote-unquote racist people will be the thing. It will be like the bag of garlic or the silver crucifix or something that will kill Donald Trump's candidacy.
Well, Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I want Jared to comment on this. You know, this has really just begun to really snowball in the last few days. You mentioned yourself, Jared, in the last segment that they confronted him with. And David Duke didn't really endorse him. If you look at Duke's right. comments, and I had to research this yeah. myself to make sure I was accurate. He said Trump was the best of the lot, but he still has some reservations about him. But as far as their purposes are concerned, that's a ringing endorsement. And they asked Trump about it. Bloomberg News asked him about it in an on-air camera interview. And he said he doesn't want his endorsement. He doesn't need anyone's endorsement. They said, well, will you repudiate the endorsement? And what he said verbatim was, yes, if it makes you feel better. And I appreciated that response. I think he handled it as well as he could have. And they also said, well, what about in general the growing support of the so-called, you know, they didn't say so-called, but they said, what about the growing support in the white nationalist community? And that's when he said, Trump said, well, everybody likes me. I think, frankly, Jared, that's as well as anybody could have been expected to handle it in his position. And, you know, to me, it's another feather in his cap, as far as I'm concerned. Your thoughts, Jared?
Yeah. Yes, I certainly agree with that. In fact, at CPAC a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2013, he actually said, we need more immigration from Europe. He talked about all of these European friends.
Wow.
Tremendous people. He says, they can't get in. They're fantastic people. They'd be good for the country, and they can't get in. Now, whether it will ever come to the point where he says, I prefer America the way it was, majority white, and I'd like to keep it that way. Whether he ever gets to that point, I don't know. I would prefer that he come four square and speak in those terms, but even if he doesn't, the effect he has is, as I say, putting the brakes on this dispossession of the founding stock of America, and I think that's something he'll stick to, so I don't care what he says, so long as he sticks to his guns on that issue.
And even if he proves not to be trustworthy, at least, and I said this last week, there may be a chance that he would secure the borders. I think there's 0% chance that any of the other candidates on either party would do it. Jared, I want one more question with you, and then I'm going to toss it to Keith for a final question. We only have about 4 minutes remaining. But frankly, if securing the borders is a racist proposition, then we're all racist, and we might as well just accept it, because that's pretty much all Trump has said, and that's gotten him branded with that scarlet letter R. Any sensible country secures their borders. I want to ask you this, though, Jared. You read his immigration policy paper. We covered it last week. Is there anything you would do to improve it if you had been the one that had written it?
I would have made it clear that he wants to put a dead stop onto legal immigration. I would have made it much more clear that he's going to deport every single one of the illegals that are here. I mean, he suggested those things, but it wasn't quite as forthright and clear as I would like. The other thing about it is, and this is sort of wishing for the moon, really, if he had said something about immigrants should be chosen to benefit the United States, not only in terms of ability, but in their capacity to assimilate to Anglo-American culture. I mean, I think that would have been about as close to perfect as I can imagine coming from a mainstream candidate. But
even so, what he did issue was pretty solid as far as we go. We have time for one more question. I want to remind everybody before Keith asks it to be sure to check out Jared's website, amren.com. Keith?
Okay, let me just say this. I have done a lot of thinking about, you know, the state we're in, and I've come to this conclusion. What is the end game of all liberalism? In my opinion, it's globalism. They want one world government. They don't like nationalists and the nation state. They think there should be no borders to impede the flow of goods or people. And by doing what he is doing, Trump is striking at the Achilles heel of the left. This is the, you know, this is how you bring down the whole house of cards. If you can maintain the integrity of the nation state and have a nation run for the benefit of its citizens, that is the single most important thing that you can do. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think that's what's so impressive about the plan for immigration that he laid out. He said a nation without borders is not a nation, a nation without laws is not a nation, and a nation that does not put its people first is not a nation. That, to me, it is absolutely startling for something as obviously commonsensical as that to come out of the mouth of a mainstream politician. And I think if
Jared,
the point of departure, we're fine.
We only have seconds remaining, and Eddie doesn't have his headset on, so I don't want him to be able to get cut off by the music. But I'll ask Eddie's question for him. And he said, basically, I said before that, you know, I quibble with the term white nationalist, you know, but who cares? But Eddie says, so what? Even if you are a self-described white nationalist, are you not also an American citizen with the right to have an opinion? Jared, your thoughts?
Like the left wing
radicals.
You know, I think this boom is yet to quiet down. For as long as Trump is out there making noise, they're going to try to drape you and him around his neck, and that gives us every time an opportunity to say sensible things to people we've never reached before.
I agree 100%. Great answer.
Great opportunity. Thank you so much.
Jared, it's great to have you as always. Thank you for your work, your endless work. I mean, you know, this is a guy out there, ladies and gentlemen, there are very few of them that is out there every single day,
toiling in the vineyard,
7 days a week, and he's doing the job that Americans refuse to do. Checking out at amren.com and stay in touch with his work and support his work. Jared, thank you again, my friend.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thanks so much to be on.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to have some fun in the third hour. Eddie's finally on deck. He's crashed the party for the first 2 hours. He's finally going to get his turn. Stay tuned.
He's in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.